we interrupt the commercial break sing-along with Dan and Larry. Oh, you should have heard it, folks, to welcome in the senior writer from ChicagoBears.com, Larry Mayer, who after a week hiatus has decided to join. How are you feeling, young man?
I'm feeling much better, yes. Okay. I'm out of the dungeon of a fever in my basement, and I've recovered, and everything's good. I'm very excited here, as you can tell by Jigs and I singing some fever 60s songs.
The fever dungeon basement.
Wait, yes.
Second most important question, are you still contagious, though?
No, okay. I don't think so.
Wait a minute, you get a fever and get sick the week that the Bears go to San Diego.
Yeah, I know. It never happens when we go down to Detroit or Green Bay or anything like that.
Oh, what's wrong with those?
I still did cover the game, though. I wrote three stories, and I was very excited on my couch when we saw Zach Miller make that catch. It was unbelievable. One of the best game-winning catches I've ever seen. Well, the thing about Zach that people don't know is that he started as a quarterback. He's got a great story.
I knew that. Yeah.
When I say people, I mean generally okay. speaking people. I don't mean the, you know,
those
I mean the,
below us.
Well, you mean peoples.
Well, I guess the other most important, while you were home, I certainly hope you watched Bears pregame live and Bears postgame live on Comcast Sportsnet, Larry. We could use all the help we can get. And by the way, happy birthday to Lance Briggs,
yes,
too.
Yeah. I believe Lance, it's also former Bears linebacker Rod Wilson's birthday today, too.
Wow. Now that's digging. Mm-hmm. That's what a senior writer does, ladies
he
and gentlemen.
He is a great guy, Rod Wilson.
Hopefully Lance is done celebrating by the time he shows up at 11 a.m. on Sunday at Comcast Sportsnet. But let's get into that game at noon on Sunday. What a job the offensive linemen have themselves this week going up against, you know, perhaps the most talented defensive front in the league.
Everybody always talks about how it's a challenge every week for the Bears and for any NFL team going against
this is top. Challenge with a capital C, though.
Right. But I was going to say, of all the teams they've played this year, this could be the best. I mean, Seattle's defense is good as well. Adam Gase said today it's probably one of the top two, if not the best defenses they're going to face, and they play with that type of intensity that the Seattle Seahawks always play with. And you mentioned before, I was listening and paying attention. You paid attention both things at the same time, actually. You've talked about all the number one picks on their defense, and it is incredible that they've kind of stockpiled guys on the line. These guys have recorded 27 sacks. I think a lot of it starts with Robert Quinn, who's an excellent sack master out there outside, but also Aaron Donald, who a guy that everybody had the Bears taking in the draft last year. All of a sudden, he was gone when the Rams picked him. And you think Tommy Harris early in his career, that's what Aaron Donald is. And it is going to be a tremendous challenge. And I'm hoping that Jiggs gets in the room and talks to the offensive lineman. He was firing me up, just waiting to get on the set here. But it was interesting. It was interesting for me to hear him talk about how when you're going against guys that are the upper echelon, they get all the publicity, how that may fire you up and really accept the challenge more so than usual.
You know, as an offensive lineman get ignored except for, you know, holding so-and-so or, you know, offsides, whatever. And so, you know, the only time you get noticed is in a negative situation. You know, the defensive linemen get a lot of praise and justifiably so when they do a great job. But, you know, the guy gets one sack out of 70-some plays in the game and they act like, you know, he's ruling the world. So that's your way of getting back at him for 75 plays or so. I'm coming after you.
Right. Jiggs, you could get beat twice in one game, and then the guy's probably defensive player of the week. Once again, I'm saying hypothetically, someone could get beat twice and then give up a defensive player of the week award to the guy.
This is a feisty visit with Larry. You can tell he's better now.
Happy to be alive and
Yes. We had a little curveball thrown our way today. You know, we were going to talk about, okay, how does Adam Gase put his guys in position, as he always does every week, and he doesn't always have all hands on deck. I think that's been a continuing storyline all season. Now with the news about Alshon today, another kind of twist in the wind, if you will, today. But I'm sure he's figured out ways and going over ways, and he'll probably know tomorrow whether Alshon will be available or not, or he'll at least get a realistic chance on how he's able to put these guys in position to win, particularly against this physical and fast defense, too.
Well, Alshon is probably the number one game-breaker on offense, which he's proven the last 3 weeks. But not to go completely positive here, Chris, but the good news is that the Bears have gotten used to playing without Alshon Jeffery. Yeah. They know how to play without him. They played the entire preseason without him. He came back for the season opener, then he hurt himself in practice, missed the next four games. Eddie Royal was out during that period of time as well as he was in San Diego. So they've gotten their younger receivers, guys like Cameron and Meredith, guys like Josh Bellamy, an opportunity to play with the starters, and they've actually stepped up and done a pretty good job. That being said, you don't replace Alshon Jeffery. We've seen the last couple weeks how fantastic this guy is, how he goes up there. And I think he's even, you know, obviously 2 years ago he had a great season, but he's probably playing his best football since he joined the Bears. And Jiggs, it totally impressed me when they gave up the pick six, how he reacted. You could see he was visibly angry by what happened.
He said he went over to Jay. He said, we're coming right back at him. And that's when they Adam Gase gave the go route to go ahead and do that. And he took full advantage of it. So that's, you know, see, because everybody talks about what leadership is. That's not a case of a guy there, you know, saying, hey, I want to make another play selfishly. He's like, look, as a team, we need to go right back after him. And that's exactly what they did. And I think the play was good for 40 yards or something like that.
Over 40.
And then it starts adding up. You know, you start hitting those things. And now the defense gets a little shaky. And I don't care how good everybody says this guy is or that guy is. When you sit down and you really just start to go after him with a classic run game, come back with your play-action passes, and start throwing deep a little bit later on, that's what works. And these guys can have all the numbers they want in terms of, you know, rushing the passer and all the rest of that. But if you're running the ball down their throat, they're not rushing the passer.
Yeah, and he did it in a non-Dez way, too. You know, I'm sure the national TVs would have caught him if he would have gotten in somebody's face and done the T.O. thing.
And this week, you know, the Bears have talked about doing the same similar thing in terms of keeping balanced. And Jay Cutler talked about it today about how you got to throw a lot of different things at the Rams because they showed multiple looks. They showed different fronts and they showed different defenses. And they're going to do different things to you. And they have a lot of talent on their defense. We talk about the front seven. They got some good cornerbacks as well. Great linebackers, I think, led by Laurinaitis. I know I'm going to start going into my WWE background here with Laurinaitis and his uncle. But we'll steer clear from that now, exactly. But this is an excellent defense. In fact, Chris, they've given up one touchdown in their last three home games.
And they know how to pick it, and they have a couple guys in there who are nasty and will run downhill on you. Everyone after the game Monday night, I think on social media, and I think some have greater perspective than others, but there are those, you know, looking ahead to Matt Forte's contract situation, saying, okay, we just saw what Jeremy Langford can do. Let's save some money. Matt, bye-bye.
Buddy.
Thanks for joining us. I think, you know, people have to slow their roll a little bit and recognize what this guy has done, how durable he's been, even though he's sidelined right now, giving the rookie an opportunity. And the impressions I got, and you know, no one's going to reveal their hand of cards at just this point, but I think there's a high amount of respect by this new regime for what Matt Forte brings to the table.
I'm going to sound like a really old guy, but now that's just the world we live in now in terms of people overreacting to instantaneous things that are happening. Mm-hmm. Jiggs, can you imagine if there was social media in 1975 when Walter Payton started as a rookie and got zero yards in his first game?
I'm sure another mistake. They blew first round.
Exactly.
Pick.
That's what it would have been exactly like back then. But Chris, you are completely right about the regime with Matt Forte. They are very impressed, especially with his work ethic and the fact that he's a three down back. In the past, John Fox has really liked rotating running backs and sharing the workload. But with Matt Forte, he's a special back. Mark Trestman could never get him off the field, and the current staff feels the same way. He gives them everything. And the interesting thing about Jeremy Langford, though, is kind of following in those footsteps in terms of being able to catch the ball, run with it, and also pick up blitzes, which a lot of people don't really think about that much, but that's something that's tough for rookie running backs.
Well, you know, all you have to do is watch him in the last game, watch his footwork. You know, there were a couple times, you know, they tried to duck and dodge him. He slid over and got a piece of the defender. But as you see him, as the game progresses, you see him basing up, getting in that good stance. And when the defender tries to get around him, he's starting to nail him. And that's when you know you got it down.
Man, I think overall this should be a positive thing in hopes of having a 1-2 punch. I mean, granted, there's going to have to be some give and take when contract time comes up from both sides, but I think Matt has an appreciation,
Chris,
for what he has here.
Look at it this way. You know you're going to need more than one running back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about guys you can depend on. You know you're going to need more than one quarterback going into every season, guys you can depend on. So I don't understand what the argument is about. You know, is it that everybody thinks that maybe, Carey's ready? Is he the number two guy? That whole thing, that whole argument is like, huh?
Yeah.
Let's move on to some of the other things you really have to worry about.
It's a financial consideration with Matt, who's a very proud player, and also a playing time consideration with him, too. Him perhaps seeing the big picture. All right, we goofed around too much at the start. We wanted to get to some other things, but we got to run. Thanks for joining us. Glad you're feeling better. Glad you're not contagious. But next time you are sick, tune us in, okay, if you're watching from home.
Absolutely.
All right.
I was a little delirious. That's probably why I didn't.
The senior writer from ChicagoBears.com, Larry Mayer, joining us on Bears Blitz.